Let's give thanks. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for this wonderful food and for Fred and Aileen who've prepared it for us. Thank you for the chance to meet as your people this evening. And we pray that you'd be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a few kind of practicalities. First of all, it's great to see everyone. There are a few folk who are going to be joining from next week, and there are a few folk who are, I think, on their way shortly. So ignore people if they arrive a little late. But anyway, I think I know most of you. I'm Sam Bruce, I'm the curate here, and it's great to have you all here. I just thought I'd start with a few practicalities. Fred and Aileen are just doing a fantastic job in coordinating food for us. It's a real blessing to be able to eat together, and it's only possible because of Fred and Aileen. Now, to help them, please do let them know if you have any kind of special dietary things and so on. And if you are going to arrive late one evening, that's absolutely fine. Just drop a text to Fred, and he can save a plate for you, and that's how we'll do it. It is just worth saying that in order to kind of cover our costs, it is quite important that everybody pays. So it's just £2.50, and it'd be good if you don't forget to do that, just so we can be kind of financially viable. One very small thing to say is that next week we're actually going to be in the Nash Room, because there's a wonderful ministry that happens here called All Sorts, which is a kind of a meeting for adults with learning disabilities. So that happens in here, so we'll be next door next week. And the other small thing to say is that after we've finished, there's a certain amount of clearing up to do. The way we're going to do that is we'll be in kind of smaller groups later on. We'll just take it in turns, just to take 15 minutes at the end of the evening blitzing. And so if you're in my group, then you've drawn the short straw for tonight. So that's that. What I thought it'd be good to do is just to kind of introduce what I'm hoping that we're going to do on these Thursday evenings together. So I've got there's a little card here. Discipleship Course Autumn Term. It gives you a program. It gives you some kind of information. And then it gives you, on the back, our aims. And there's a little picture I drew there for you. I hope you like it. And it's a picture, actually, of my uncle. And you know, sometimes at Christmas time, the same old stories come out every single year. Well, this is a story that always comes out. It was when they were on holiday in Cambridge, and they all went punting, and they were trying to get off the punt onto the side. Everyone managed it successfully, except for my uncle, and it was that kind of inevitable thing where he put one foot on the bank, the other foot was on the punt, and gradually it drifted until he could bear it no more, and splat, he went into the water. Has that happened to anyone here, by the way? You've seen it happen. It's very amusing. Actually, it's quite a good picture of what it's like being a kind of half-hearted Christian. So maybe we kind of start out following Jesus and we think, oh yeah, that sounds great. But then we think, oh, there are some areas of my life where actually I'm not so sure about kind of following him. And so we end up with kind of one foot in the kind of Jesus camp and kind of one foot over in the world. And actually, it's a miserable experience. As a result, we feel kind of compromised. And we feel like we're not really living for Jesus. And actually, Jesus promises us that as we throw our lot in with him, life to the full, life in all its fullness. And that is what I hope these Thursday evenings are going to be all about. We're going to be thinking about what it looks like to get fully in the boat with Jesus. Now, it's not always going to make life easier, as I think we'll see as we go through. But it will make life better. Jesus promises us a life of joy and purpose as we launch out with him. So that's what we're all about. And before we kind of kick off our first session together, I should just say that the format's fairly straightforward. We'll eat, then we'll have a talk, and then we'll head off into some Bible study groups. So that's the kind of format, nice and simple. But before we have our first talk, I thought I'd just talk us through our kind of aims for these Thursday evenings. They're down there. The first is strong relationships. So when Jesus calls someone to follow him, wonderfully, he doesn't just call us as individuals, but he calls us actually as a family. And so that's why we're going to eat together, so we can actually get to know each other. That's why we're going to be in the same Bible study groups every week, so that we can actually really get to know a smaller group of people really well. And it's worth saying, we've called it a course only because it's got a kind of definable end point, not because we're expecting it to be a kind of download of information that you kind of come to and then leave again. We want this to be a place of strong relationships. The second ingredient for our time is honest questions. So actually, Jesus calls us to submit every area of life to him. Now, inevitably, when you do that, it's going to raise a load of questions and issues. This is a great place to ask those questions and to kind of chew them through together. And so that means actually when it comes to our Bible studies, there's no such thing as we're not just after the kind of right answer. No, instead, actually we're after seeking to be genuine with each other. So we share kind of, how we're doing. It also means that no question is too simple. And if you're worried about a question being too simple, chances are everyone else is probably thinking it as well. So you'll be doing them a favor if you ask it yourself. The third ingredient is Bible study. So this book here is God's discipleship manual for us. He tells us absolutely everything we need to know about him and to follow him. And so that's why the Bible's going to be central in our talks together, in our Bible studies. And actually our questions, when we ask them, we need to be thinking about actually what does the Bible say about that? If it helps, then do take notes in the talks. We've got some little handouts for you and some pens there as well. If that helps you to remember, please do that. It's just worth saying in our Bible studies, probably better not to take notes. It's just a bit easier to be involved and engaged with what other people are saying if you're not scribbling things down at that point. So there are the kind of three ingredients. I hope that makes sense. And I think that actually if we give ourselves to them, that we will have really very exciting times indeed together on these Thursday nights. I think it's worth saying as well that because of this aim, it really will help you if you're as consistent as possible in coming along. It'll help friendships and relationships. It'll help you to enjoy what you're doing. And actually, it'll help you to get much more out of it. And it'll help the other people in your group to get much more out of it as well. Now, obviously, things come up, so don't worry about that. But insofar as we can, it'd be great to make this a regular commitment if we can. Well, that's all I've got to say by way of introduction. So what I'd like us to do now is to pick up a Bible and turn to Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to ask Tim to come up and read that for us, actually. I'm sorry, Tim, I've caught you entirely by surprise there. Just before we... sorry, I've forgotten one important thing, which is to say, why don't we just have a two-minute pause now and clear plates, take them to the hatch, and also there's tea and coffee. Now's a great time to get yourself a pudding, a tea and a coffee, and in 3 or 4 minutes we'll kick off with Colossians. Thanks. What's that? Oh, yes, you can. Yeah.
I was going to ring on it.
Oh, Sam, well done for making it.
Yeah, you put a big pressure on me, though.
Yeah, I know, I did. There is some, you're welcome to it. Okay, well done, everyone. There's more tea, if you want it. We're fairly relaxed, so if you need top-ups of coffee and so on, do just pop up and get them. That's absolutely fine. In fact, you know what? Since the tea's here, we'll give everyone another 30 seconds to get tea. Right, I think everyone's more or less there. So why don't I just pray again as we turn to God's word together, and then Tim's going to come and read our passage to us. Loving Father, we pray now as we look at the Bible together that you give us eyes that can understand and take in what you're saying to us. And we pray so much. That you'd be with us. And teaching us and helping us to know what it means to live in relationship with you. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Great. Tim.
Colossians 1, 21?
That's right. That's to 23.
That's to right. 23. Excellent. Here we go. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant.
Tim, thanks very much. Now, leave that passage open. We're gonna come to look at it in some detail in a few moments. But first of all, let me start by asking a question. Have you noticed how important relationships are in life in general? It's why we have families, I guess. It's why we have friends. It's why Facebook exists. Sometimes I wish it didn't, but it does. And it's because we value relationships that it does. It's why we've been talking over supper, rather than just kind of, you know, sitting there in glum silence. I actually did once go off on a silent retreat. It's the kind of thing that they think is good for you if you're an Anglican minister. And we did have meal times where you were sitting opposite people looking in complete silence. It was utterly bizarre. You had to kind of do sign language if you wanted them to pass you the salt. It was bizarre. Relationships, say, they're the kind of bread and butter of life. And as a result, actually, often some of the most painful things we experience in life are when relationships go wrong, aren't they? So whether it's betrayal from a close friend or relationships ending abruptly as a loved one dies. In fact, our greatest dreams tend to be kind of relational dreams, and actually our greatest fears in life tend to be relational fears when you think about it. And the Bible explains why that is. It explains why it is that relationships are so important to us. And here's the answer it gives. God himself is relational. He's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. And maybe you're thinking, oh, hang on a second, Sam. I came here to kind of scratch up on the basics of Christian discipleship, not to go into these kind of advanced doctrines like the Trinity. But when Christians talk about the Trinity, really all you've got to get your head around is the fact that God himself is in a relationship. The Father who loves his Son. A Spirit who loves the Father. So God is not just a kind of loner who's just been hanging out for all eternity and he just got so bored one day that he simply had to create some company for himself. And lo and behold, here we all are. No, not at all. God is actually, he's actually been in a perfect relationship of love for all eternity. Just try and get your heads around that. That's what God is like. That's why it's possible to say God is love. Because there's a Father who loves his Son. There's a Spirit who loves the Father. And God created us to be like him. In his image. Genesis 1:27 tells us that God made us in his image. In other words, he made us relational. Now that's why we love relationships. Because we've been made to be like him. But here's the staggering thing. God actually made us to join in with a relationship with him. And actually in the first pages of the Bible, that's exactly the picture we get. God is kind of walking in the cool of the Garden of Eden with his people in perfect, wonderful, face-to-face friendship. Which means that actually as wonderful as all of our different kind of human friendships and relationships are, and they are wonderful, actually, the relationship we were made to enjoy above all others was a relationship with the God who made us. And the story of the Bible is the story of how, having been made for that relationship, we ruined it. We walked out on God, and the relationship was totally broken. But God in his goodness went about a mission to bring us back into relationship with himself. Now, all of that is a kind of introduction to these verses in Colossians, which are a great summary of that big story. So let's have a look at them together. And you can follow along on our on the handout. We're on the first point here. The Christian message: God offers us a relationship with himself. Now, Paul is writing here to a group of Christian believers. So these guys are already following Jesus. Actually, probably they're quite young Christians. So perhaps some of us here would identify with that. But you see, verse 21, he describes their life before they became Christians. Once, he says, you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. You know that on your phone, I can't find my phone now, you have a kind of default factory setting. And, you know, when things get really cluttered up, you go back to the default setting. Well, what Paul is saying here is that our default setting as human beings is this. This is what we're like naturally without God intervening. You see what it is there? Verse 21, you were alienated from God. Which is, of course, just the opposite of being in a relationship. And I think we kind of all know what it means to alienate someone, don't we? So, you know, I come up to Phil here and I say, oh, Phil, you know, there's this great party going on at ours on Saturday. And, you're not invited, but I just thought maybe you should know about it because there's going to be a lot of other people having a nice time. Yeah. I've just alienated Phil, okay? What I've said to him is, Phil, I'm not interested in a friendship with you, okay? In fact, you know, I want to try and hurt you and make you feel left out. We're alienated from each other. Now, that's exactly what's happened between us and God. There's been a complete breakdown of relationship. In fact, it's so bad, you see, that we were enemies in our minds. You see, we turn against God in our thinking. So in other words, it's a decision. We decide to live for ourselves and not for God. Actually, it was Adam and Eve who started it. They decided to go against what God had told them and to live life for themselves. But all of us follow in their steps. I saw a guy the other day wearing a T-shirt that said, "My life, my rules." And actually, that's the motto by which all of us go about our lives. My life, my rules. And the result is we're enemies to God and we're alienated from him. And you see, when we turn against God in our minds, well, our behavior quickly follows. Do you see that's what it says there? Enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. So you see, God tells me to be generous, but I prefer to do what I want with my money. And so God is my enemy. God tells me to forgive, but I prefer the satisfaction of taking revenge. And so again, God is my enemy. And the Bible calls this attitude sin, completely shutting God out. And the result is alienation. It's interesting, isn't it, that Paul is saying to these young Christians, look, you've got to realize where you've come from here. If you're going to understand what, you know, how to live for Jesus, how to be a disciple, you've got to know where you've come from, what your default setting is. And I wonder if we've realized just how bad our default setting is. You know, it's not just that by nature we don't follow God, it's that by nature we won't follow him. Worse than that, we can't follow him. We're enemies, opposed to him. Before someone becomes a Christian, they cannot call God Father. No, he is their enemy, deserving of his judgment, no part of his family. Well, that's before, but after, well, it's wonderful, isn't it? Verse 22, but now he has reconciled you. Now, there are lots of pictures in the Bible of reconciliation. Do you know the most famous one, the story of the prodigal son? Nod your head if you've come across that one. It's an amazing story. A son who completely rejects his father, runs off, lives a high life, comes back, and his father accepts him, forgives him. And that broken relationship is totally repaired. Well, that's what reconciliation is. It's a kind of reconnection of relationship when enemies become friends. Now, if you're married here tonight, you probably know what reconciliation is because you have to do it pretty much every week, don't you? Well, maybe that's just me. If you're not married, by the way, you know full well what it is as well because you do it with other friends all the time as well. But isn't it wonderful when reconciliation happens? You know, when someone you've not been speaking to, when there's all that tension just goes and you can suddenly pick up the phone and it's just like it was before. Reconciliation is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And you see the extent of this reconciliation with God. Verse 22. He's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish, free from accusation. You see, it's absolutely perfect. It's extraordinary, isn't it? Before we were enemies, and now God hasn't got a single bad word to say about us. Best of friends. Actually, we can think of moments, can't we, with kind of human friendships and relationships where it just seems perfect. You know, you're loving each other. There aren't any arguments. There aren't any kind of insecurities. It's just bliss. They don't normally last for very long, do they, before something gets in the way of it again. But this is a reconciliation that does last forever, without blemish. Just imagine if Israel and Palestine managed this at the moment. That's impossible to think, isn't it? And yet that was the extent of our alienation with God. And actually, it leads us to ask the question, well, how on earth can this have happened? If that was like before, and that's what it's like after, what made the difference? And it's right there, you see, in verse 22. He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. Christ's physical body through death. It's the cross. You see, the thing that cuts us off from a relationship with God is our sin, our evil behavior against God. And the punishment that we deserve for our sin is actually complete separation from him, an eternal separation. And therefore, do you see, the only way that we can be kind of reconnected with God is if the sin is removed. And that is why the cross is such amazing news, because it's there that God has removed the sin that separates us from him. All right, have you ever seen this illustration before? There we are, and there's God up there, and we were made for a perfect friendship, a relationship with him, but our sin totally alienates from him, cuts us off. Jesus, on the other hand, perfect life, perfect connection with God, and yet on the cross, he took all of our sin on himself. He took the punishment that I deserve for my sin. But do you see the results? There isn't anything that blocks me off from him anymore. It means I can have a perfect connection with God, a friendship and relationship with him. And we say, well, what have I done to deserve that? And the answer is nothing. God did it just because God did it whilst we were his enemy. We didn't add anything at all. And we say, well, okay, surely I must have contributed something. And again, the Bible comes back and say, no, you were God's enemy. As Jesus purely had love for you and did this for you. And so we might say, well, when can I start enjoying this reconnection, this relationship? And the answer comes back, well, the moment you put your trust in Jesus, the moment you put your trust in him. And actually, this is really amazing. Do you see verse 23? If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. He calls it a hope. In other words, this relationship is one that actually has a future hope as well. So not only do you get to be perfect friends with God now, but in the future, well, he will take us to a new world that has been totally reconciled to him, one that stretches on for eternity. And on that day, you know, we will see God face to face, and we will know him perfectly. Just imagine that. Isn't it so frustrating at the moment, the doubts that pop into your mind? Never quite sure if you're kidding yourself after all. Well, then there won't be any of those at all. And all of this because Jesus loved us enough to die for us. That's reconciliation. Before enemies, after perfect friends, all because of the cross. Well, more briefly, let's just quickly look at our second heading, which is this. The Christian life is growing in and enjoying that relationship. You see, once we've accepted this kind of renewed relationship with God, we need to kind of keep going in it. Do you see that's what verse 23 says? If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Continue, he says. Be established. Whatever you do, don't move from this wonderful, wonderful hope. Keep growing in the relationship. I think it's quite easy to think of being a Christian as being given a kind of admission ticket. You know, has anyone been to a concert recently? Well, you know, you kind of get you get your ticket and you put it in your wallet and then you forget about it, don't you? Until you get to the door, then you hand it in and you get in. Well, I think many of us think that being a Christian is like that. Jesus gives us a free ticket to heaven when he died on the cross, and we kind of slip it in our back pocket and then go through life. And then when we get to the pearly gates, we hand it in and it's job done. Not a word of it. No, being a Christian is the start of a relationship that we are called to grow in day by day. Yes, there is the sure hope of heaven, but before that, there's the joy of growing to know God more and more. Just what Paul said for those Ephesian Christians as well, just printed on the sheet there. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That's great, isn't it? So that you may know him better. In other words, this is a relationship with endless potential for getting deeper. Which is why, can I just say, it doesn't matter if we're coming along here as a brand new Christian or as someone who's actually been a Christian for a little while. It doesn't matter where your starting point is. No, but it does matter if you're growing. Are we going to go deeper in this relationship? In fact, they say that It's only if you're going forward in our relationship with Christ that that stops us from falling off. It's like riding a bike. I mean, does anyone ride bikes around? The only way of kind of going anywhere is by going forward. You try and stop, and of course you fall off. Well, we can't just stand stationary as Christians. The only way is to keep moving and to keep growing. Well, we're going to head off into our groups, and we're going to be thinking about how it is, what it actually looks like to be living in this relationship. But just before we do that, I've got these four short points to make. And the first is, it's all about relationships. The first is, relationships take time and effort. Now, it's true, isn't it, that sometimes you just kind of naturally get on with someone. But actually, for any depth in a relationship, there's simply no substitute for time and effort. And the same is true in a relationship with God. We've got to give time to it. You know, reading our Bibles, making church a priority, praying through the sermon each week, that kind of thing. If we want to grow in a relationship, it takes time and effort. Next, it grows gradually. And you see, the Christian life isn't a kind of set of rules and principles to be mastered. We can't do a kind of intensive course. You can do that with driving, can't you? Terrifying, the idea that someone could be on the road after only a week of ever being in a car. You can't do that with the Christian life. It's a gradual thing, because relationships grow gradually. And so we mustn't be frustrated if it just seems to be taking quite a long time. Relationships require good communication. It's fair to say, isn't it, that think of any relationship that breaks down, often it's bad communication that lies at the heart of it. Well, we can't expect this relationship with God to grow if we're not listening to him in the Bible, if we're not speaking to him in prayer. We'll be spending more time later on this term thinking about those very things quite specifically. And the final thing to say, though, is that a relationship with God is supremely rewarding. Here's what Paul said in Philippians. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. You see, God has actually made himself known through Jesus. And so actually to know Jesus is to know God. That's how we get to know God, by getting to know Jesus. And Paul says, look, there is nothing as thrilling as that. All the little things that we set our hearts on in life are nothing compared to that. And I think I put a quote on the sheet, which I'll just read out as we finish. What makes life worth living is having a big enough objective, something which catches our imagination, lays hold of our allegiance. And this the Christian has, in a way that no other person has. For what higher, more exalted, more compelling goal can there be than to know God? What an amazing thing we're being called to here. Well, as I say, we're going to head off into our small groups now. We're going to be digging in to what it actually looks like to be living in relationship, following Jesus. But it's worth just giving you a little teaser for next week, because there's one person who actually makes this relationship a reality. He takes everything that Jesus has done and he makes it a kind of living, beating reality in our hearts. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the most wonderful person and he's given freely to all believers. We're going to be looking much more at him in the coming weeks. Well, that's all I have to say. I'm now going to let us know where we're all going. So before we do that, let me just pray in some of those truths, and then we'll do some logistics. Loving Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you that he is the one who has come to fix our broken relationship with you. And thank you for the excitement of thinking that this is a relationship we can grow in as we get to know you better and better. And we just pray so much that these Thursday evenings would be such a help to that, getting to know you better and better. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to split us up into groups, largely on the basis of congregations, although it's not a very precise art, because if we did that, some groups would be way too big and others would be slightly too small. So anyway, I'll just read them out. And what I suggest is I'll do all of that, and then you can get a top-up of coffee, perhaps, and then head off into your small groups. So Tim and Ali Morton, Do you want to just kind of give us a wave? This is Tim. There's Ali over there. And you guys are going to head back into that room at the back of the Barnes room, okay, through the cupboard. And with Tim and Ali are Sam Chaplin, Paul Nyenza, David Fairburn, Dorothy Fowkes, Ashley Jenkins, Wendy and Chun when he's here. Cool. Yeah, you guys might as well. I'll do the others, then we can all head off. Otherwise, it'll be a bit weird, won't it? Okay, Yemi and Shubby. Okay, there's Yemi and Shubby. And with them, we have John and Carrie, Mike Manistee, Nick Singerson, Robert Weeks, and Laurie. And you've got a few other guys joining you next week as well. Okay, so that's... And if you guys head through... The lunt room, apparently. I don't know what these things are called. Okay, and Andy and Heather, give us a wave. Okay, again, Andy and Heather are going to be joined by a few others next week, but for now, we've got Caroline Edwards, Juliet, Toby Howard, Anna Kershaw, Jess Palow, and Hannah, who I saw kind of sneak in at the back. Hannah, great to have you with us. And if you guys go through to the Nash room. That'd be great. And that leaves with me and Lucy, and I'm here. Hello, everyone. And that's Lucy over there. That leaves Phil Hines, Louise Mitchell, Reese Mitchell, Tabitha Ray, Jessica Sheck, and again, we've got a few others who are joining us next week as well. Great. Well, that's all from me. We kind of head off into our groups now, and that'll be it from upfront stuff. So we'll make sure... Your group leaders will make sure you finish by 9:30. But other than that, that's it. Thanks.